Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I am Paula Gordon. Our guest is one of the world's great scientists, Edward O. Wilson. Professor Wilson's commanding understanding of how the living world became diverse and how humans are destroying that diversity has made him the dean of biodiversity studies. Dr. Wilson is deeply concerned that life on Earth, human and other forms, face monumental challenges right now. While he is hopeful that we can meet those challenges, Professor Wilson now travels widely, calling us all to face the problems created by the explosion of human population, environmental destruction, and mass extinctions. How? Science can help.
We are just not prepared as a citizenry to deal with issues. We need to understand, I think, at some fundamental level, the way the natural sciences that produces so much of that important basic information relates to our understanding of human nature and what people need and what will provide them the best possible life over an extended period of time, and how this relates then to our entire culture.
Edward O. Wilson earned his PhD from Harvard in 1955, and he's been there ever since. He's a gifted teacher who also shares his knowledge of science in books for general audiences. Twice he has won Pulitzer Prizes. Dr. Wilson has been given honors, awards, and fellowships all over the world. Now he is focused on the very real threats he believes humanity's current course poses for the planet. These are threats so great, he says, that only the unity of human knowledge can help us meet them. In fact, he proposes nothing less than a new enlightenment, a project to bring the sciences and humanities together. Bill Russell and I welcomed the chance to talk with Dr. Wilson at a recent conference hosted by the Living Links Center at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Edward O. Wilson's brilliance and his common sense exceeded our very high expectations. Edward O. Wilson, a very wise old man, and he was very old, once told me that the only constant is change. As I had the joy of reading through some of your work and getting up to speed to talk with you, I had a sense that not only is change the only constant, but also that life is everywhere, that it's all connected, and that we have some big work to do. How'd I do?
That's correct. I think that change is accelerating in human society, and that's causing changes on planet Earth to accelerate. Most people know that we're altering the environment, the very air we breathe, at an accelerating rate, and we're moving plants and animals around the world of different kinds and extinguishing species at an accelerating rate. And we're changing the economy at an accelerating rate. And the population is still growing at an accelerating rate. And it's all together a world that's going to make the 21st century a scary rush.
Mm-hmm. Do you really think that people know that? And I say that because, you know, I guess it was Jared Diamond that said the early civilizations managed to wipe out the Tigris-Euphrates Valley as a useful place to grow things, but they at least had the excuse that they hadn't, you know, nobody had done it before. Yes. And that we don't have that excuse, but I sometimes wonder if people really know that, or if we just we don't know it, or we're in denial, or we just don't want to do anything about it.
I think a lot of that altogether. It's a matter of people having difficulty thinking beyond their own backyard, which nowadays is the United States and the Middle East, it sometimes seems, and beyond their own lifespans. That may be something that's built into our brains as part of human nature, is that it's not an inability, but it's a considerable difficulty in getting outside of a very narrow sphere of space and time and thinking of what's coming down the line at us, if not in our own lifetime, that of our immediate descendants.
You talk about a bottleneck that has been created just by human population. Mm-hmm. And I was struck by the immediacy of your concerns, that this bottleneck is something we have to get through in the next 40 to 50 years. I expect to still be alive then.
Well, the bottleneck is a very useful metaphor, I found, particularly when talking about natural resources and conservation and population problems, because it helps people understand approximately where we are, but it also indicates that there is light at the other end. There's a widening out into quieter
and more
secure times. Right. Well, I think that's a possibility if we, and a probability if we learn to measure our own changes. And the bottleneck is essentially this, in a nutshell, and it is that we are approaching, as we speak, about a population of 6 billion people, and it's up, as you may know, from 2 billion just 50 or 60 years ago. 6 billion people, then, tripling within the lifespans of a great many of the people listening to this program, and it's going on beyond that. No one knows exactly how far beyond it will go before it peaks and starts to come down. But the estimates are, best estimates are, that it's going to be at least close to 8 billion. And unless the brakes are put on population growth pretty strongly, more strongly than they are now, it could go beyond 8 billion. Now, that's an awful lot of people for the world to sustain, and most don't realize that, according to resource experts around the world, this is the consensus, you know, rather like we have a consensus about the CFCs and the burning of the ozone hole, and now increasingly the climatic warming trend. We have a consensus among resource experts on what's growing short, and there are two things: arable land, which is decreasing steadily per capita amount of arable land around the world, and water supply. We're running out of those things, and it's going to cause some pretty severe difficulties in getting enough food, at least quality, nutritious food, for those 6 to 8 billion people in the next few years. Now, the aspect of the bottleneck that most concerns me is that while we're doing this, we're pushing most of the rest of life off the face of the earth.
Let's talk about that some more when we come back. This is the great scientist, Dr. Edward O. Wilson. Bill Russell and I are honored to be with him, and we're all going to be back in just a moment.